This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman John Linder, who represents the Peach State's 7th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts on what the larger message is from the election results in Virginia and New Jersey and New York last night, and how it might impact in the very near future some of the major pieces of legislation being considered on Capitol Hill. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Great night for Republicans, your party, in the state races in Virginia and New Jersey. Democrats did pick up that House seat in New York. What's the overall message from voters, if you can consolidate it into one or two messages?
Number one, independents have taken a hard look at the guy they put in the White House and do not like what they see, and they're moving dramatically back to the Republican. Number two, we ought to stay out of local races and let them sort it out themselves. And number three, I think this has hardened lean no and no folks in the House on health care. And in the Senate, you've got a bunch of senators who run statewide, and they're looking at that dramatic swing of independents, and they're going to think twice about voting on anything controversial.
Follow up, if you can, on the House health care debate. There could be a vote in the lower chamber within a matter of just a day or two here, maybe the weekend. But whenever it is, do you think that those who are considered moderate Democrats are thinking twice about supporting this legislation?
Yes, and I would not be surprised if they sent us home Friday and bring us back a week and a half or so later to see if they can get the votes, because I do not believe they have them now.
What makes you think that?
If they had the votes, they'd have voted on it already. They would not have worried about 72 hours. That 72 hours is for them to beat up their own members, not for the public to read the bill. If they had those votes, they'd cram it down now, and they clearly do not.
We just talked with one of your Republican colleagues yesterday who said they want to get this vote in the next couple of days because, especially if the election went the way that it did yesterday, those Democrats would go home, hear an earful from their constituents, and then be even less likely to vote for the Democratic version of this. So any validity to that?
I think that's absolutely true, and I think just watching those returns, if you're one of the 80-plus, 82 Democrats living in swing districts that won either Bush or John McCain, or the 48 districts where both Bush and McCain won, I think you'd think twice about that.
Do you get the sense that this is a major momentum for 2010 like it was from 1993 into 94, or is it too soon to say that?
No, actually, I've been saying this for about 2-3 months. I was here in 93, and I watched that happen. I went out to an event for George Allen and gave him a check to help him get his campaign going. And I watched that thing move, and it moved at all levels of Virginia, and it moved with Christy Whitman in New Jersey. And we had some special elections coming up in the next year, and we won them both, and things just moved our way. I sense that the independent voter, who actually was a Republican, who started saying they're independent, I think those folks are moving back. We still know that the conservatives outnumber the liberals 2-1 in this country, and those independents are coming back to the conservative base.
Voters, many of them independents, rejected Republicans in 2006 and 2008. Now it seems like they're lashing out in the other direction. What's the lesson for both parties, and especially your party, as you try to get back in the majority?
Give people a reason to vote yes. They have all kinds of reasons to vote no. We need to stand for something. We need to have an agenda and say these are the things we'll put on the floor. We did a contract with America. The Democrats had 6 for 06 when they won the majority. We should have the same kind of thing, 10 for 10, and we should come back with some specific proposals. The only reason the Democrats got the majority in 2006 is they hid who they were. They never put their ideas on anything. They recruited pro-business, pro-life, and particularly in the South, Democrat candidates who gave the majority. Now they like them out of the way, of course. But Republicans have always been good at putting what we believe right on the front burner. We should continue to do that.
One of the things I know you believe in is a very different approach to health care reform, and Republicans are issuing an alternative package to what the Democrats are putting forth. Your version is considerably shorter. It's a little over 200 pages, and it focuses on several key priorities rather than overhauling the entire system. We should let our listeners know that you are one of several Republican members with a medical background. You're a dentist by training. What did you see as absolutely essential in putting together a reform package in terms of what needs to be in and what needs to be out?
What needs to be out is individual and business mandates. what needs to be had is a Soviet-style system, which the Democrat program is. We have 100,000 applications for an iPhone. People can make all kinds of choices in their life. They can run their entire life off their iPhone, and we're going to build a Soviet-style system to run their health care, give them no choices. The Republican side says there are a lot of things we know we can fix without creating havoc and throwing out the health insurance for the 85% of America that likes what they have. We ought to fix the junk lawsuits. We spend $200 billion a year on defensive medicine because they're afraid of being sued. That's $2 trillion over 10 years. That's enough to pay for all of their programs. But they don't do that because their single biggest base of support is trial lawyers, and they protect them. We should be able to buy insurance across state lines. You buy insurance in New York City, you have 52 political mandates that the insurance company has to cover you. So you're paying for hair transplants. I don't want any. But you have to pay for it because they're mandated. If you let them buy across state lines, the 1,700 health insurers in this country will be gracious, plenty competition. We should also fund the risk pools so that we can help pay for regular insurance for those who have pre-existing conditions, and our proposal does that.
Congressman, what do you expect to happen here? You mentioned you might actually get sent home and have this issue come up in a few days. Do you think there will be something passed by the end of the year?
In 1993, the Clinton administration came up with their big budget tax increase. If you recall, it passed by one vote.
Right.
And it was a BTU tax. That there was going to be a tax on energy with respect to how many British thermal units it produced. Everybody hated it, but they voted it in, and the Senate dropped it. And those folks who got BTU'd lost their seats in the House. Those 82 people in those swing districts desperately do not want to have to vote on a health care bill, which is a takeover of the health care system, and then have the Senate not do it. So there's going to be increasing resistance against the leadership in the House to have a vote this week and even this year. They would love to have the Senate take the lead.
Congressman, we'll certainly keep a close eye on this and see what exactly develops in the coming days. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Georgia Congressman John Linder represents his state's 7th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.